Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
The next few moments, I'm going to take a long time, but I want to look at 1 Samuel chapter 7 because it's such a powerful story of how God can work a divine turnaround in a situation. In the story we're going to look at, it's the nation of Israel. So if he can do it for a nation, imagine what he could do for you and I personally. But when you come to 1 Samuel chapter 7, the nation of Israel has been through a very, very dry season. For 20 years, they have been oppressed by their enemies. For 20 years, they've been serving idols. For 20 years, there haven't been any words from the Lord, and visions have been rare, and they're being oppressed. In fact, in chapter 4, just kind of as a backdrop, we find out what happened in a battle. It says, at that time, Israel was at war with Philistines, and the Israelite army was camped near Ebenezer, and the Philistines were at Aphek. And the Philistines attacked and defeated the army of Israel, killing 4,000 men. So they're at a place called Ebenezer, and remember that name. It means the stone of help. So you would think at the stone of help, they would win the battle, but instead they lost 4,000 men. The two sons of the high priest were wicked. They're killed in battle. When the high priest hears about it, he's 98 years old. When he hears the news, he falls over dead. And now 20 years have passed, and Israel's been oppressed, and there's a man by the name of Samuel, a prophet, who comes to the forefront of the nation. And here's what he says to the nation. If you're tired of being oppressed by the Philistines, here's what you need to do. You need to call on God. You know, it's interesting. He doesn't say, you need to raise an army. He doesn't say, you know, we need to get some weapons here and we need to learn how to use them. He understands that the solution to their problem isn't natural, it's supernatural. That it's not going to be in the flesh, it's going to be in the spirit. Always that's the truth for God's people. For every single problem we face, though we may see things in the natural play out to resolving the situation, the solution begins with the supernatural. It begins in the spiritual. So as we look at 1 Samuel chapter 7, I give you three principles, and they're very simple. First of all, God honors persistent prayer. God honors persistent prayer. Let's look at it, verse 6. So they gathered at Mizpah. So Samuel has told them, listen, if you're tired of being oppressed and you're tired of this season where nothing's going right, what you need to do is you need to get rid of the idols and you need to set your heart on seeking God. And I would just say as an aside that if there are things, as you come in tonight, if there are things in your life that are more important to you than God, if there are things that command more of your attention than God, then a good place to start in seeking God is to make sure God is more important than anything in your life. Sometimes we can do that simply by making that affirmation and that commitment and recognizing our priorities have gotten out of line and saying, you know, I need to reprioritize. I need to think through what I'm doing and how I'm living life, and I need to make sure that God is clearly the priority in my life. Other times, it's not enough just to reprioritize. We have to get rid of some things, especially if you know those things are displeasing to the Lord. So Samuel says that they do that, and he says, and if you're really serious, let's get together, let's seek God. He could have said, everybody just, you know, at your houses, just make sure you're loving God and you're seeking the Lord, but there's a value in getting God's people together to seek him. There is something that happens when we gather in his name as a as a fellowship, as a group of people committed to the Lord, that results in God doing powerful things that are different from and unique from what happens when we're alone with the Lord. So it's not, well, you know, I could just be home and it's the same. It's not. You can be home, you can have time with the Lord, but if you miss time with the body of believers, then you've missed something significant. Here's Samuel, he recognizes that. He says, hey, y'all need to get rid of your idols. They did, but then he says, and we all need to gather in his name and seek him. So they gathered at Mizpah in a great ceremony, and they drew water from a well and poured it out before the Lord. You say, what is that about? Well, water was more precious in their day than it is in ours. It's hard to come by. Water is very valuable. Water is an offering to the Lord. It is the same as saying, God, it's really in some sense a reminder of when water came from the rock in the desert. Because you really see that with the Feast of Tabernacles, that by the time of the Jewish temple during Jesus' days, they would go up at the Feast of Tabernacles, and the priest would say, with joy, we will draw water from the wells of salvation, and then they would pour it out before the Lord. And the idea would be this remembering of God providing water in the desert to people in this moment when a rock spewed forth water, gushed forth water, that watered 2 million people plus their livestock. It's an amazing feat. So here they are, they're taking water, they're pouring it out. It's symbolic of God's provision, understanding God's provision. It's also saying, listen, we're pouring our lives out. Our water is like as precious as life. We're pouring that out before you. Our lives are poured out before you. Our lives are yours. Our lives belong to you. And we worship you with all that we have is kind of the symbolism of that water. So as they're doing that, they also went without food all day, and they confessed that they had sinned against the Lord, so they're fasting. You know, if you're in a battle, if you're facing the enemy, if you feel you're under attack, don't wait for the church to call a 21-day Daniel fast. You fast. And don't get in the idea that unless you fast 21 days, nothing's going to happen. You could just say, from sunrise to sunset, I'm not going to eat, and powerful things could happen. They're just during the day. They're just saying, during the day, we're going to go out. You could go home at night when the sun goes down and say, I'm going to break my fast. Powerful things would happen just by saying, I'm going to fast a meal. Powerful things could happen. So they're fasting. And when the Philistine rulers heard that Israel had gathered at Mizpah, they mobilized their army and advanced. The Israelites were badly frightened when they learned that the Philistines were approaching. I mean, here they are, they're fasting. They're trying to get close to God. That's the whole purpose. Do you know who the Philistines are representative of? They're enemies of God's people. Listen, whenever you and I purpose that we're going to seek God, the enemy's going to attack. And we don't have to be afraid of that. We just need to accept that, you know, there's some of you and you're saying, you know, I feel like I'm really trying to draw close to God. And the more I try, it seems like the greater the attack. Absolutely. Here you say, well, then maybe I should just pull back a little bit. No, that'd be wrong. You're not going to get the victory by pulling back. You get the victory by pressing on, by seeking God. Watch this. So the enemy's attacking. Verse 8, it says this. And when the people see it, they say to Samuel, don't stop pleading with the Lord our God to save us from the Philistines. They begged Samuel. I mean, when the enemy is attacking, don't stop praying. Some of you are under attack. Don't stop praying. Some of you can see a dark cloud on the horizon. Don't stop praying, because God is going to show you his power over the enemy that's attacking. Well, number two. God works through worship. And that's what makes the gathering of the saints of God so powerful, is that as we're praying, as we're worshiping, what happens is God is working. I just love that thought. I love that as we're sitting in here and we're worshiping God, things are changing out there. As you're sitting in here praying and worshiping, God is changing the situation at work. Things are changing in your office. As you're sitting in here, things are changing in your home. As you're sitting in here, things are changing in your future. Now watch this in 1 Samuel. So Samuel took a young lamb, offered it to the Lord as a whole burnt offering, and he pleaded with the Lord to help Israel, and the Lord answered him. And just as Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, so as the sacrifice is happening, watch what God does. The Philistines arrive to attack Israel. But the Lord spoke with a mighty voice of thunder from heaven that day. Wouldn't you have loved to have seen that? It had to be pretty impressive. The Philistines were thrown into such confusion. And really the way it's written in the NLT gives you the idea Israel defeated them, but it's really Israel won because of what God did, not because of what Israel did, because the battle is the Lord's. And when you're worshiping the Lord, God is going before you. He's fighting the battle. He's defeating the enemy. He's putting the enemy into confusion. And it all happens while they're worshiping. Listen, worship changes so many things. First of all, it changes our thoughts. Because you can't, really, if you're going to sing, you get Randall and Annie and everybody up there, and they're singing, and if you're really jumping into that, you're not able to think about your problem in that moment. I mean, you can only think of one thing at a time. You can go back and forth pretty quickly, but worship changes your thoughts. Worship changes your words. I mean, it's just you're suddenly singing Scripture, because most of the songs are Scripture or based on Scripture. So you're singing that and you're thinking, wow, I mean, you're saying the Word of God. There is a power in that. And so as it's changing what you think and it's changing what you say, it changes your situation and what you experience. That's the power of worship. Something so powerful about just coming in here. As we're worshiping, it's changing everything. So then a third thing I want you to notice, God brings victory from defeat. Look at it in verse 11. The men of Israel chased them from Mizpah to a place below Beth-kar, slaughtering them all along the way. Samuel then took a large stone, and he placed it between the towns of Mizpah and Jeshana, and he named it Ebenezer, which means the stone of help, for he said, up to this point, the Lord has helped us. You know what? At the very place, I'm going to have the musicians come, at the very place that they'd experienced defeat, God gave them a victory. You know, here's the thing. As you're here, sometimes what happens is I think people, by and large, have a tendency to remember their defeats more than they do their victories. And I think the enemy sees to that. I think the enemy likes to say, remember how you lost the battle there, and remember how you didn't make it over there, you didn't. And he likes to remind people of their defeats. And sometimes what happens is then people think, well, because I didn't win, I cannot win. And that's not true. I mean, Israel was defeated in a big way 20 years before, but it was because Israel wasn't seeking the Lord with all of their heart. Israel was defeated, but it was because Israel wasn't worshiping. And you know, there's something when you and I set our heart on seeking God, he's able to take losers and make them winners. He's able to take places of defeat and turn them into places of victory. And what Samuel does is Samuel sets up this stone because Samuel is essentially saying, get a really big rock so it's real obvious, so it can't be moved or removed. And we're going to call this stone the stone of help. So that when people say, what's that stone? Why is that stone there? And you have to believe it's put in a very visible place, a place where people would catch people's eyes. People say, what is that? What happened there? Oh, that's Ebenezer. That's the stone of help. Because that's the place where God took a defeat and he turned it into a victory. That's a place where we were outnumbered, where we were overwhelmed. And as we worshiped, God showed himself powerful by doing something supernatural. He thundered in such a way that an entire army panicked and ran. And it would be a reminder of what God did. And you know what? I view coming into the altar as a place, as a stone of help. This altar is that for me. And every time when I see people come forward, whether it's at Wednesday night, whether it's Sunday, whether it's on Sunday morning as people getting prayed for, if it's people coming up to receive Christ, to rededicate their life, whether it's people in the altars on Wednesday night, this is a place where God helps. Because there's all kinds of, how many people would say, I came up, I spent time in the altar, and I saw God change my situation. How many have seen that? Hands going up all over. When I stand here, I think of the altar as a grass field. Because in 1997, I stood in a grass field right here. And with the church having no way to build what's here, with it looking absolutely impossible. We didn't own the land at the time. We were leasing the land with the right to purchase the land. And the land was gonna cost $2 million. And the building was gonna cost, and today it would be a steal of a deal, but the building was going to cost about $13, $14 million. And the church had maybe $700,000. And we were looking at $16 million. And I had talked to people, and they said, that church can do more than you think. And then these were consultants, and they came in, and they looked at our giving records, and they said, we take that back. I don't know how you do it. seriously. And you know, Y2K was looming and everybody's talking about this major meltdown. There's all these things going on. And I just remember being out of town and being so just discouraged. I don't know what we're going to do. And we were out of room and all of that. And the Lord speaking to my heart and saying, I want you to go out and build an altar of worship at the place of the altar where the altar will stand, where people will meet me in the future. You be the first one to go out and meet me. Where people will take their problems to the Lord, you be the first one to take your problem to the Lord on that land. And I just remember on a Tuesday morning at about 7:15, coming out and seeing all the cars going by and thinking they're going to think, what's he doing? There's a guy out there with his hands in the air. And thinking, I'm more concerned about God getting God's help than I am about what people would think. And just turning my back literally to the highway as if to say, I don't care what people think, I care what God thinks. And lifting my hands and saying, Lord, I can remember it like it was yesterday. Lord, I don't know how this is gonna happen and I can't see any way that it would. But you're the God that takes things that are not and calls them as though they are. And if you say this will happen, then it will. And I just praise you. I just worship you for the next 20 minutes, just sitting out here in a field, worshiping the Lord and thanking God for a victory I humanly couldn't see with my eyes or understand with my mind, but knowing that our God is so powerful, He does the impossible. I mean, so this is Ebenezer. This is the stone of help. This is the place. And I'm just saying, prayer is really powerful. And when it's coupled with worship, it's changing things. Even as we're singing the song and praying the prayers, it's happening. And this building, I'm telling you, is proof of it. Everybody can look back on it and say, oh yeah, I saw how it happened. Yeah, that was right place at the right time. Ha. You know, big God does big things with the tiniest little bit of faith. Because it doesn't take a lot of faith. It just takes a little faith if it's the real thing, right? So whatever you need, or maybe you're just saying, Lord, I just need your hand on my life in a new way, whatever it is. But if you got a problem, I'd come into this altar. This is the stone of help. This is the place God will meet you. Let's believe God for big things. Let's watch Him give you victory where maybe at one time you had defeat. Amen?